This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, George Meany's here. How's it, George?
How are you getting here, Gareth?
Lovely. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, the long weekend, Easter weekend, did you go away?
Yes, went to Misty Mountains.
Where is that? Is that in Lord of the Rings?
It felt like Lord of the Rings.
It sounds like Lord of the Rings. Where is that?
It's in just above Lower Sabi in the mountains in... what was
Mpumalanga,
Mpumalanga, and the old Northern Transvaal, I think. It was properly misty. It was nice and clear in the day, and then at around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, the mist rolled in.
I think Ben was in that area a couple of weeks ago. Are you doing anything this weekend?
Just watching the Grand Prix.
Ah, that's very good. Where is the Grand Prix this weekend?
It's in Azerbaijan.
You're joking. Does anyone know where that is on a map?
Somewhere in the east. Northeast.
All right. George is here. We're talking about cars and the lifestyle around motoring. What have we got on the agenda?
Well, I'm sure you saw that viral video that was going around about the hot cross buns.
Yes, and that the Metro Police, they would do a breathalyzer straight after you'd eaten one, and it came out that you're well over the limit.
Yes. So if you had eaten a hot cross bun or two, it would show that you were 0.21 milligrams of alcohol per 1,000 liters or deciliters of blood, which then puts you over the legal limit. Mm-hmm. So
let's just remember that alcohol is a natural ingredient of so much food, because a lot of food, there's fermentation that takes place, and the result of fermentation is alcohol. So you're going to have a little bit of that in meat, even in dairy products, in certain kinds of flour and yeast and those kinds of things.
You're absolutely right. So the trouble with hot cross buns is that it's high in raisins and those things contain sugars and stuff that can ferment, and then yeast.
Yep.
Yeast can also cause your breathalyzer to overread. There's lots of foods, like you say.
And by the way, you also, if you spray that like a breath spray.
Yes, it's got ethanol.
Big time.
Yeah.
So that then will that will make you go right over the limit. So don't do that if you're coming up to a roadblock.
Yes, don't think that rinsing your mouth with Listerine is going to help. It's probably not going to help.
Worse.
It'll make it much worse. Yeah. Much worse. But these breathalyzers, especially the one that was used in a video called the Draeger model, is being used for evidential breathalyzer testing and is not reliable. And the only reliable thing is a machine that is quite large and not the size of the palm of your hand,
right?
That can measure the breath alcohol accurately. These ones that are just the size of the palm of your hand actually can't measure the breath alcohol properly.
And so
I think that the only solution is the traditional blood test. Use the breathalyzer as an indicator. Mm-hmm. And then if the person is over the limit, take them for a blood test.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Next Friday, I've got a little machine that also does a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
And we'll all try it. We'll have a hot cross bun or something. And
I think it's a good idea.
Let's do it.
I think it's a good idea.
Sia, will you remind me? I'll bring that breath alcohol testing kit when I come in next week. All right.
Then a Range Rover has brought into South Africa, or should I say it's only available in South Africa for now, is the Springbok Edition, and is a one-of-a-kind colored car in the Springbok colors.
It's revolting.
It's, British Racing Green is green, but this is a blue-green, which is the official Springbok colors.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, is anybody such a big Springbok supporter anymore? It used to be
That's a good
thing,
point.
Right?
Yes.
It used to be a thing. Like, South Africans were rugby mad and football mad and cricket mad. And like, now, you have to dig under a pile of rocks to find a proper Springbok supporter. Remember how people used to wear the Springbok jersey every Friday?
I don't see Springbok jerseys anymore.
Nobody cares.
Nobody wears
Nobody's
them.
Interested. Sport in this country, they've been so dismal, and there's been so much politics around sport that I think people are just disinterested.
They are.
And they find the whole thing distasteful. So Land Rover, you're about 5 years too late with this idea?
I'll be interested to see how many of these sell.
Oh, they'll sell them. There's still a couple of people in Pretoria who are big enough fans.
Well, I mean, the target market seems to be high LSM. They're putting these colors on the 5-liter supercharged V8 version.
Right. So there are always douchebags who'll go for this stuff, but they're the same kind of losers who have personalized plates.
Well, Jerry Roo, the CEO of SA Rugby, said that this project is the first of a kind for the Springboks, and I'm sure there will be many excited conversations amongst players.
What's that, Jerry? What an idiot. All right. Forgive me. I mean, would you buy one?
No.
No.
No, don't like green cars, unfortunately.
Is that the only reason you buy one?
I like white cars and black cars.
You know, I know that there are people who have their company logo on the car, which is fine. That's advertising your business. I know that there are people who like to have their own personalized plate with their name on it. So it helps people who, when you drive like an idiot, to shout at you with your name.
Yeah, well, they can also find you.
Yes, they can find you more easily. But there isn't a reason that you should be attention-seeking if you're not a Springbok, if you're not actually in the Springbok
team. That's a good point. They should actually give these cars to the Springboks to drive.
Yeah. If you're just an ordinary douche in, like, you know, Groenkloof in Pretoria, and you're driving around in a groen car because you think that you're a big Springbok supporter, and people are going to drive past thinking maybe you are in the Springbok team, I've got news for you. You're just an idiot.
Well, let's see. I'll try and find out how many of these green cars sell.
I'll find one. I'm telling you, I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'll take a picture of the oak inside. He's going to be a fat, overweight, 50-something-year-old man with no hair on his head. Watch.
Wearing a Springbok jersey, maybe.
Definitely.
Anyway, on to...
Oaks, aren't you jealous of my car? All right. Shame. Now that we've totally destroyed Land Rover's new marketing plan for 2019.
Well, Teslas are exploding in China. Uh-oh. I don't know if you saw that video.
It was one in a parking lot,
yes,
right?
Yes, in a parking lot.
So and, what happened, George?
So this Tesla was... nobody knows right now, actually. But the Tesla was standing in the parking lot, emitted a bit of smoke, and then burst into flames and took three cars with it. And it went wild on their social media called Weibo, which is a Twitter-like platform. And nobody knows what happened yet.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is that there's only been about 14 instances of these cars catching fire since 2013. I wonder if the person that owned this car didn't modify it in some way.
Yeah, you see... I was talking to Sia about this earlier because Ford had some problem with some of their cars that don't lock properly and they don't have the alarms.
Yeah, there's a lot of videos going around for that now.
So Ford have recalled a bunch of them, and they've also said they will replace the alarms, or they'll put in an accessory alarm or whatever. So they're trying to solve the problem. But I said to Sia, you know, every factory in the world that makes anything is bound to occasionally make a few mistakes. There's going to be a dud. You look in families.
Yep.
Even in a family,
there's a dud.
There are three or four kids that are great, and then the fifth kid is a disaster. You know what I mean? There's out of your four grandparents, one of them might have been a drunk. You cannot get it right every time. And kudos to Ford and to all these car companies that do these recalls. They try to do the right thing. Nobody's forcing them at gunpoint to do it.
Yeah.
They aren't court orders being issued. They do it because they know it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
And I respect that. I think that's the proactive, honest, decent thing to do for your customers. And I think it's great. Most other companies, they don't do that stuff.
Exactly. So I think there was one company, Tylenol. If you remember I think it was arsenic and Tylenol.
Oh, wow. That's quite a big deal.
That's how the anti-tampering lid came about. I think it was Tylenol. Somebody stuck in arsenic or something into Tylenol. And they actually pulled every product off the shelves of retail stores.
Wow. What does Tylenol do?
I think it's... headache tablet.
I'm taking Tylenol. Let me look that up.
I think it was Tylenol. I'm not entirely sure, but that's how the anti-tamper lid.
Headache and pain relief. You're right. Okay. So that's the anti-tamper lid. That's where that came from.
I think so, yes.
Fantastic.
And so anyway, this is only 14 cars out of 500,000 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 14 is not acceptable to burst into flames, but if you ask yourself how many other cars manufacturers this has happened to, not acceptable, but it's
0.00028.
Exactly.
Come on, percent. Yeah.
And who knows what the circumstance was there? I mean, I'm a Tesla fan, so I'm probably a little bit biased.
Yeah, you're allowed to be. And you know what? Tesla are doing stuff that the other car manufacturers don't like. Exactly. So whenever they can find a story like this, they love it.
Exactly, exactly.
Look at Tesla. They're all so stupid like us.
Then some car facts. This is a fun part. Mm-hmm. The industries and some facts about people like Henry Ford.
Would you like some theme music for this?
Maybe.
Oh, that's not a
bad idea.
Let's give George some theme music and let's do fun car facts with George. All right.
Okay.
Let me find the appropriate music here. I don't know, George.
Yeah.
Maybe we go with something cheesy, perhaps.
Cheesy's good.
Want something cheesy. All right. Here it is.
Ah, love it. I love it.
All right, the first interesting car fact from George is...
Can I put on my fishnet stockings for this?
No, it's just...
Okay, never mind.
I was scared of the high heels.
Go on, what do we got, George?
Well, did you know that Henry Ford, in the Model T production, brought production down from 12 hours to just 30 minutes of a car?
The crowd are loving that one.
Right. Did you know that 75% of Rolls-Royce cars ever built are still on the road today?
Very impressive.
Which reinforces the brand's quality.
That's excellent.
Oh.
Okay. But then people aren't going to just throw those away, aren't they?
No, exactly. No, I mean, you're paying enough for that
very
stuff.
Good. All right. What do you think of that, audience? They love it. All right. Very good. What else?
Carl Benz did not invent the car.
Oh.
What he did was effectively file a birth certificate of the car in the form of a patent. But he did not actually invent the car. The car was an amalgamation of many inventions that finally combined into the first self-propelled vehicle being built by Nicholas Joseph Cugno. C-U-G-N-O-T.
We don't know what he's driving, a Cugno, are they?
Yeah, in 1769 and was powered by steam.
Well, no one wants a steam-powered car either, Mr. Cugno, so I'm sorry if you think that you deserve a place in the footnote of history. But it's a Mr. Benz that we remember.
In Mr. Benz, 49 years later, patented the gas engine.
Good for Mr. Benz. They're still on the road and they win Grand Prix.
They do too. And then cars spend 95% of their lives parked.
Yeah, this is exactly why lift sharing and ride sharing schemes are the way of the future. And that automated cars that belong to everybody are the way to go. Because ultimately, we pay for it to sit there.
It just sits there.
95%
of your car's life.
This is for the average person.
I think I spend a bit more time than the average person in my car. I drive quite a lot. And I still am bored.
Well, I mean, do you think that's then 90%?
Maybe 90%.
85%?
But it's
still freaking high.
Yeah, it's very high.
Still,
wow.
It's still high.
And you think that the purpose you bought that thing for is to transport you around.
Exactly.
And then it's sitting there. Drives me crazy. There's zero efficiency in
that. The model needs to change. Then the inventor of the cruise control was blind.
No. Yeah, it's all right. Calm down.
How's that a thing?
He was blind?
He was blind. His name was Ralph Teeter. And he was a prolific inventor despite being blind from the age of 5.
Right.
His first job was his first job with a degree in mechanical engineering was on steam turbine rotors used in the Navy torpedo boat destroyers.
Good Lord.
His first job.
All right, well then you know what, it's probably just as well he was the inventor, because if you've done stuff in a time of war, you might have capabilities in a time of peace that might be even more handy.
And then what drove him to invent the cruise control was the speeding up and slowing down of cars.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You don't say, huh?
He didn't like the speeding up and slowing down all the time. You know when you're driving a car and you pull up to the car in front of you and then you slow down. You get these kangaroos.
Well, the best time to have cruise control, and I don't have it in my current car, but in one of the ones I had before, is when you're taking a long drive down to the coast or whatever.
Yes.
And you've got those long open roads. Maybe you're in the Karoo on your way to Cape Town or on the way back.
It's useful.
Yeah.
It's useful. I think the most useful iteration of cruise control is adaptive cruise control.
How does that work and what is the difference?
So it uses LiDAR and cameras to detect the car in front of you and then it keeps its following distance.
That's very good.
Ooh.
That's very good. Especially,
and of course they're useful for avoiding speeding fines and speeding traps, because if you set your cruise control at 100, for example, you're not going to get caught in any traps that are 100, 120.
Exactly. But most people for some reason, set their cruise control to 129 kilometers per hour.
Aye, that's stupid, because then you're going to be in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble. Right. You're in trouble. I don't know why.
Because they bust you for anything over like 125-ish is where they start. And then if you go over 160, as I learned once, they just arrest you straight away.
Yeah,
if you're going at over 160, you're in big, big shit.
Not if you're wearing fishnets. Not good.
So I was stopped the other day in a one of those roadblocks where they're checking your fines.
Oh, yes.
And luckily for me, I've got my card. Driver's license is still valid. My car license is renewed. I paid all my fines, so I was okay. There was like a 250 rand fine on some speeding camera somewhere. But, you know, with auto coming in, a lot of people worried about this.
Yeah, because you can get demerits.
Right. And then you might have your license taken
away. I got my license the other day after, you know, the new electronic booking system the license department has. So I got the appointment in December, went and applied for my license, still stood in a queue.
Yeah.
And then kept checking, is my license there? Is it there? Is it there? And it wasn't there. It only arrived last week from December. I had to drive around with a temporary license until last week. And then when I walked in there, the queue for what was supposedly an electronic booking system was, if you've been to the Randburg one, second floor, all the way down the corridor, down the stairs, down that corridor, out the building.
Oh, the car doesn't like in that one.
That is how long that queue was.
Well, everybody says, you know what we need in our world is more government. That's what you get for more government.
How long did he spend there?
Oh, to fetch it. Yeah. About 10 minutes. It was there. Okay. So that well,
but the queue itself.
The queue to apply was the one that was so long. Anyway.
Is there a better way to do that? Like, I know for Home Affairs have got this great thing where you go into a bank and you can get your passport renewed, and you know, all the visa places, you can send someone to go and get that stuff done for you. Isn't there a way to do it with driver's licenses?
Well, I mean, I don't know whether it exists anymore, but years ago, I went to reapply for my driver's license at an optometrist. I don't know whether that still exists. There was an optometrist in Fort Wayne.
If that does exist, I'm in.
I'm pretty sure years ago
I'd rather pay an optometrist 5,000 rand than have to stand in a queue.
That queue was long. Those people were there till the next morning.
Shame.
Anyway, another fun car fact. A single car is made up of more than 30,000 parts.
Wow, okay.
And in 1995, the life expectancy of the average car was 8.4 years. Now it's 11.
So it's got better because people tend to have the idea that it's going the other way.
Yes.
I didn't know that. That most people go, well, cars are disposable now, and you know, there's so many things that cost so much less in cars now. So in the old days, they were made of iron and steel, and they lasted longer. That's bullshit.
No, it's more sophisticated and more refined now.
Okay.
So it lasts longer. So so that's a good thing. Then the first car accident. When do you think that happened?
Was the first car invented?
The first car invented was 1790. Well, the steam powered one was 1769.
I say the same year.
The same year.
I'm giving it like 3 months.
Definitely.
Max. Yeah.
No. So it was actually around the time of Mr. Benz's patent, which first car accident happened in 1891.
Wow, look at us, human beings.
That's not bad.
1891.
We aren't too... You know, with the first steam-powered car, maybe there weren't any to crash into.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, there's no other car to... No, but you can crash into a tree, something like
Didn't
that.
A lot of those first steam-powered cars, though, they operated on rails.
Where the trams and
yeah,
and,
so they,
and
they were like trains. So in other words, they didn't go off road, so to speak.
So the accidents were less likely.
Yeah, because what are you going to bump into? Something else on the rails? Clear those out of the way first.
Well, here's another interesting fact inside that one, and that is the top speed of these cars were 5 miles per hour.
That's so
which
fast.
Is about 10 kilometers per hour.
The fastest human, I think Usain Bolt can run at like 14 kilometers an hour. Yeah.
But imagine how thrilling that was.
Short 5Ks an hour.
Well, when Usain Bolt comes running past you.
So yeah, go and get in your car now.
Stockings.
I dare you to even try to drive at 5 kilometers an hour through the parking lot. Go and try it. It'll be the most boring thing you've ever done. And it'll be hard because your car can't go that slow.
It's incredibly slow. You can walk faster. Then lastly, the car radio was nearly banned. So this is quite an interesting one because there are evergreen reasons people want to regulate and ban things in the world.
Of course.
And in this case, when the car radio was first invented, some states in America wanted to ban them as it could have distracted drivers and cause accidents. Now, nearly 100 years later, it isn't the radio that is distracting cars, but people, but telephones.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to ban telephones from cars. Well, there are no telephones in cars. Oh, well, we'll find a way to ban it anyway. This is the problem with people who want to ban things. They don't know what the future's going to hold.
Exactly.
They ban something and then within days of their ban.
I'm going to ban podcasts in cars. Well, how you can do that?
Yeah, exactly. Good luck to you. Ban YouTube. Huh? Ban Google. Ban Facebook. Go ahead. Let's see how well you do. Be like North Korea in no time. All right, George.
Thank you, Gareth.
Good stuff. That was a bumper edition this morning.
A bumper edition.
It's always nice to see you, George. We'll see you in a week's time. I'll bring that breathalyzer in and we'll try out some hot cross buns.
I'm looking forward to it.
This is CliffCentral.com.